Breaking news tonight, the 6th and 7th Memphis police officers now relieved of duty after the brutal beating death of Tyre Nichols. One of those officers seen on his body cam struggling with Nichols and deploying his taser. That officer, who was white, suspended from duty, while five black officers were fired and charged with murder. A seventh officer, unidentified. And now late word about the EMT's call to treat Nichols at the scene. Also tonight, the potentially crippling ice storm across the south and the Arctic blast sending temperatures plunging. Al Roker is tracking it. The new body cam in the Alec Murdoch double murder trial. Police inside Murdoch's gun room and outside finding spent bullet casings and recordings of Murdoch questioned by police what he said about his relationship with his wife he's accused of killing. If you're planning on using your airline rewards points, you could be in for a surprise. What you need to know: the miracle survivor, the hiker who fell 200 feet from a mountain, and the rescue inspiring America.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening, everyone. The images that shook the nation are still reverberating tonight and shaking loose some important new details. Memphis police today confirming a sixth and now seventh officer has been removed from the job over the incident. Earlier today, officials acknowledged that Officer Preston Hemphill was on the scene of Tyre Nichols' brutal beating that night, and they have just confirmed another previously unidentified officer has also been taken off the job. That would be officer number seven. Last week, five officers were charged with second-degree murder, and the fallout now extending to the Memphis Fire Department, two medical technicians and a lieutenant fired over their handling of the incident. The death of Tyre Nichols has become the latest reckoning for a country still struggling to define and bring about police reform. Priscilla Thompson has the latest for us from Memphis, and a warning, we will be showing some of that graphic video in this report.
Tonight, the Memphis Fire Department terminating two medical workers, Robert Long and Jamichael Sandridge, and one lieutenant, Michelle Whittaker, who all responded to the police beating of Tyre Nichols. The department says an internal investigation found they violated numerous MFD policies and protocols. Two Memphis police officers are on administrative leave as investigations into the brutal beating death of Tyre Nichols continues. One of the officers, Preston Hemphill, a five-year veteran of the force, was relieved of duty alongside the five now fired officers shortly after the January 7th traffic stop, according to the department. They say information about the disciplinary action was not immediately released because the investigation is still ongoing.
You guys are really doing a lot right now.
Hemphill can be seen on his body cam helping pin Nichols down during the initial confrontation until Nichols fled on foot. Authorities say he used a taser.
I hope to stomp his ass.
Nichols died 3 days later. An attorney for Hemphill says his client was never present at the second scene and is cooperating with the investigation.
We think that he should be terminated like the other five black officers that were terminated.
Attorneys for the family of Tyre Nichols calling the revelation disappointing, saying in a statement, it certainly begs the question why the white officer involved in this brutal attack was shielded and protected from the public eye and to date from sufficient discipline and accountability. On Saturday, the Memphis Police Department announced it would permanently deactivate its Scorpion unit that the five ex-officers now charged with murder belong to.
Units of that kind sometimes can, both in Memphis and around the country, can sometimes breed a culture of over-aggressiveness.
Officials declined to say whether Hemphill was a member of the unit, created little over a year ago to address violent crime. All of this has led to renewed calls for police reform, putting pressure on lawmakers to revisit now-stalled negotiations that began after the murder of George Floyd. In the Senate, Republican Tim Scott and Democrat Cory Booker, who helped lead those negotiations, now expressing a willingness to return to the table. But any legislation would face an uphill battle in the Republican-controlled House, where some leaders are already expressing doubt.
I don't know that any law, any training, any reform is going to change. You know, this man was handcuffed. They continued to beat him.
Tonight, lawmakers still divided on the path forward as Tyre's parents move ahead with funeral plans.
Priscilla, a lot going on in the story today. What is next for the police officers who have been charged?
Lester, those five former officers are due in court for the first time next month. Attorneys for two of the ex-officers say their clients will plead not guilty. Lester?
Priscilla Thompson, thank you. Another major story tonight, the dangerous ice storm on the move across the South and the Arctic blast, sending temperatures plunging for tens of millions of Americans. Morgan Chesky is in the storm zone. Morgan, what are you seeing?
Yeah, Lester, we are seeing it all. Snow flurries, freezing rain, and sleet all afternoon long, and more than 100 accidents reported in the Fort Worth area alone. And if there's one warning for drivers tonight, it's stay off the roads that are freezing as we speak.
Tonight, a dangerous, icy mess for millions. Plunging temps from Texas to Tennessee, blasting states with freezing rain, ice, and even thundersleet. Near Dallas, the storm hit early, leading to one icy accident after another.
I wouldn't be out here if you don't have four-wheel drive.
The sudden cold snap, putting the state's power grid back in the spotlight after failing 2 years ago during a historic winter storm, leaving more than 200 people dead.
The grid is in great condition, just like it weathered the cold snap before Christmas. We will be able to weather the cold snap.
Overnight near St. Louis, two accidents alone involved nearly 40 vehicles, both blamed on black ice. Roads, not the only issue. Frozen runways and planes led to more than 1,000 cancellations nationwide, with Dallas Love and DFW International Airport canceling flights by the hundreds. To the west in Utah, video captured near whiteout conditions as temperatures took a frightening plunge. One northern area recording 60 degrees below zero. Back in Texas, with a dangerous 48 hours ahead, the strategy is clear.
I'm working from home tomorrow, so I'm just, you know, hunkering down at the house. So that's it.
If you don't have to go out, you're not
getting out. I'm not going out.
With conditions only expected to get worse, the big test comes tonight with more freezing rain on the way. Morgan Chesky, NBC News, Fort Worth.
And so a potentially dangerous night ahead. Al Roker is here with us. What are you watching?
Well, Lester, we're watching this area from the southwest all the way into the northeast. 36 million people under winter storm watches, winter weather advisories, ice storm warnings in parts of Arkansas on into Tennessee. You can already see an icy mix starting to fire up and make its way out of Texas. Before it's all over, through Wednesday, we're looking at anywhere from a tenth of an inch of ice to, in some places, a half an inch of ice. That's tree damage, risk of power outages and airport delays. The roads are going to be a mess. Down to the south, we're looking at a lot of wet weather, flooding possible. And we've got brutal cold. 19 million people under wind chill warnings and advisories. Tomorrow morning, minus 25 in Minneapolis, minus 12 in Chicago, 18 above. That's what it's going to feel like, Lester, in Dallas.
All right, Al Roker, thank you. We'll turn now to the Alec Murdoch double murder trial, now entering its second week. The jury getting a look inside Murdoch's gun room from police body cam as prosecutors brought his arsenal into the courtroom. Here's Blaine Alexander.
In a South Carolina courtroom, a dramatic show and tell.
Let's see what else is in this box.
On the stand, investigator Jeff Croft revealing gun after gun found at the hunting property of Alec Murdoch, the disbarred attorney on trial for the murder of his wife and adult son.
And again, if you can show that to the jury, please.
But the murder weapons have not been recovered, and Murdoch's defense attorneys repeatedly objected to the guns being shown, saying ballistics tests had already determined these were not involved.
They're just not relevant, but sending, you know, just weapon after weapon back into the jury room during jury deliberations, we think is unfairly prejudicial.
This agent gathered 12-gauge weapons for a reason, because 12-gauge rounds were used to murder Paul Murdoch.
Today, jurors watched body camera video showing investigators searching Murdoch's gun closet and recovering old shell casings from the property not involved in the murders. Jurors also heard recordings of an emotional Murdoch questioned by law enforcement several days after the killings. When asked about his wife, he breaks down.
I have a wonderful wife.
During that recording, Murdoch also references a .300 blackout rifle, the same type of weapon investigators say was used in Maggie's death.
Do people often use .300 blackout to shoot hogs?
They do.
The day began with Murdoch's attorney suggesting because there were two weapons used, there may have been two different shooters.
One explanation, not the, but one.
Not the only.
Yeah, not the only. But it is a reasonable explanation, just like one shooter running up that way, correct?
But the state pushed back on that, saying it could also mean there was one shooter using two guns. Lester?
All right, Blaine Alexander, thank you. In Virginia today, students returned to a Newport News elementary school for the first time. A six-year-old student shot and wounded a teacher there. A line of police officers welcoming students back more than 3 weeks since the shocking incident. The school has stepped up its security, adding metal detectors and clear backpacks. A lawyer for the wounded teacher said she plans to sue the school district. In just 60 seconds, it's not a virus and it's not a bacteria, the rare infection that's becoming a growing threat. And the dramatic train track rescue, the heart-stopping video ahead. The symptoms may sound familiar. Cough, fever, chills. But a little-known illness called Valley Fever is raising new concerns among some doctors in the West as cases rise. Gotti Schwartz has details.
24-year-old Devin Buckley's freshman year of college was supposed to be the time of his life.
Life was great, actually. At the time I got sick, I had, like, no complaints.
But in spring of 2018, the University of Arizona student suddenly started losing weight. He was extremely tired, struggling even to walk to the bathroom. It took 6 weeks to get a diagnosis, a fungal infection called Valley Fever.
Had you ever heard of Valley Fever?
No, I had never heard of it.
Valley fever is caused by breathing in microscopic spores that live in dirt.
It sounds like you were extremely close to death.
Yeah, they were telling my mom to prepare for that.
He's still not better, spending 5 years in and out of the hospital. At his worst, he was on life support for 2 weeks.
At 23, you have your whole life ahead of you. This is an exciting time. And he's just hoping to have a day where he's not in pain all day. So it's a challenge.
Some people with Valley Fever experience just mild disease, but 5 to 10% of cases lead to serious long-term lung problems. The disease can spread to the brain, joints, and in some cases is fatal.
The spores that cause Valley Fever thrive in dry desert environments like this. Two-thirds of all cases reported in the United States originate from right here in Arizona, and researchers say that the disease's reach is expanding.
In recent years, Valley Fever cases rose 32%, and experts worry it could get much worse. One study shows the spores that cause it could spread beyond the Southwest through the Great Plains as the Earth warms due to climate change. And while there is no cure for Valley Fever, researchers say they are close to developing a vaccine.
It's been found repeatedly.
Dr. John Galgiani has been treating and studying Valley Fever for 40 years.
If we could prevent this with a vaccine, that would be a real game changer.
Researchers at the University of Arizona have created a vaccine for dogs that could be approved by the USDA early next year. It would be the first fungal vaccine approved in the U.S. for animal or human. Dr. Galgiani says it looks promising for people, too.
How hopeful are you that we're going to see a vaccine soon?
I'm really quite hopeful. In my view, right now, we do have a candidate that deserves to be evaluated, and I think will probably be effective, and we'll be using it.
And he says time is of the essence. Gotti Schwartz, NBC News, Tucson.
When we come back, seconds from disaster, how police saved a man from a car only moments before a train hit it. And an early warning for those planning summer vacations, why you should book your plane tickets sooner than later. We're back with some dramatic video out of Atlanta. Here you see a stolen police car flipped over on train tracks following a high-speed chase. Officers tried to pull the driver from the vehicle as a train quickly approached. They smashed the windows to get him out just moments before the train crashed into the car. Police say the driver has been charged with theft and reckless driving, among other things. If you're getting ready to plan a big summer vacation and hoping to use airline points to fly, you might want to book sooner. Frequent flyer points are getting harder to use, and many airlines are raising the bar on achieving elite status. Tom Costello tells us more.
It can make a big difference if you travel a lot or hope to. The more you fly one airline and use their credit card, the higher your airline status. More points, more perks. Free checked bags, lounge access, TSA pre-check, seat upgrades, and free flights. But after lowering the requirements for passengers to achieve elite status during the pandemic, some airlines are now raising the requirements back to pre-pandemic levels.
To attain lower tiers of status, you don't have to fly as much, but if you want to get into those super elite platinum tiers where you're treated like royalty, you really need to be a road warrior.
Or spend heavily. Take Delta Airlines. To achieve gold medallion status for 2024, Delta is raising the required amount of qualifying dollars from $6,000 to $8,000 with Delta or its credit cards. It's also limiting access to its lounge. Last year, American Airlines went to an all-point system. United is also reinstating pre-pandemic elite requirements, a combination of flights, purchases, or both to gain status. Southwest will require more points for a companion pass ticket. With planes nearly full, TSA pre-check lines are getting longer, and you may struggle to use a free ticket during the big seasonal travel periods.
When it comes to earning versus burning, earning is easy. You can earn miles without even flying. But burning, redeeming, that's the tough part. There simply aren't enough seats.
Travel pros advise using airline credit cards for big purchases to rack up the points and consider off-peak travel periods to redeem those free tickets. Lester?
All right, Tom Costello, thank you. We have some sad news to bring you tonight. Lisa Loring, who played Wednesday in the original Addams Family series and also appeared in As the World Turns, has passed away. Loring's daughter said she went peacefully with both her daughters holding her hands. She was 64. Finally, the incredible story of a woman who survived a 200-foot fall, with rescue workers calling it nothing short of a miracle. She sat down with our Steve Patterson to relive her incredible survival story.
The scenic beauty of California's San Gabriel Mountains conceals a hidden peril in plain sight: ice. And no one understands more than Ruth Warnecki.
To being out here again and walking in such a short amount of time is just extremely exciting.
The 40-year-old accomplished hiker says slippery terrain is nothing she isn't used to. So on Christmas Eve, she headed to the top of Cucamonga Peak, but on the way down, the wrong step of a lifetime.
For her to be alive is, I'd say that's a miracle.
Rescue workers say Ruth slipped and tumbled 200 feet, breaking her neck in two places.
With those types of falls over the last few years, they are usually fatalities.
Not Ruth. She doesn't even remember the fall. Instead, she woke up surrounded by a group of Good Samaritans, one sending a GPS locator to rescuers, another wrapping her up with the coat off her back.
I am just deeply, deeply grateful.
But that wasn't the tough part. High winds prevented the rescue chopper from reaching her location, so through indescribable pain and the possibility of permanent waist-down paralysis, Ruth had to complete the hardest hike of her life to reach a clearing for the rescue chopper.
You hiked those 150 feet?
I had to hike those 150 feet.
With a broken neck?
Yeah, well, I was trying to hold it like this.
Now, Ruth is on the long road to recovery, but despite the odds, she's walking it, guided by her faith.
To what I was saying about prayer, you know, Jesus, now help me, be with me. And he brought me that sense of hope and comfort.
And it got you through.
Got me through.
The miracle on the mountain. Steve Patterson, NBC News.
My goodness, what a story to tell. That's nightly news for this Monday. Thank you for watching. I'm Lester Holt. Please take care of yourself and each other. Good night.